This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's 5 o'clock on the most listened to sports talk show for your ride home.
What?
It is time for
the Falcons Report.
Whoa, whoa. Caught.
Touchdown Atlanta in the end zone.
Caught. Touchdown.
You shall not.
5 o'clock Falcons Report. The Falcon Report is sponsored by MD Anderson Cancer Center.
Oh, my heavens!
On Dukes and Bell.
We are Dukes and Bell. It is quitting time. Actually, a few minutes past. We'll get on track. It is Rob Tribble in for Carl Dukes today. Hope you guys are having a great day. A lot of fun already. Heard from Big Chuck Smith. He had some great takes on the Falcons and why we're doing so well. Part of that is we got a run game, man. We'll get into that. Also, the Braves. Is Matt Olson out of the woods? We'll talk to Grant McCauley about that. Tribble's in for Carl. We'd like to start the five with a big hearty,
Hey, man.
Nice job. So, buddy boy. It's fun to talk about a win. Arthur Blank's birthday today, turned 80. A couple of guys hit us up on the text line about that. I think this team's in a good place for a year that we knew was going to be tough for a number of reasons. You know, some guys didn't like it when I called this a gap year, knowing that we didn't have the cap space. We were just behind the eight ball. I guess the question
is.
But should we change our expectations or stay intemperate and say, hey, man, we get 6 or 7 wins. It's a hell of a season.
Well, I already believe there's 7 wins in this team.
Okay.
But I'm not going to. I heard Fricky talking about 9 wins.
I see a wild card.
I see a wild card. Need Chuck in here. He's done such a great job with that one.
But look, I'm not crapping on Frick. We do that all the time. We're not crapping on Frick right here. It's like everybody from the – we said yesterday. There's fans that feel this team every year is going to the Super Bowl, regardless of what the roster looks like. To fans that are, you know, as we said, on the fence, because that's kind of what some fans do in this town. But this team, you can see things, even in the losses, you can see things you can feel at least certainly excited about. As we said, talking to Chuck and Wes Durham talked about it last hour, we've got a run game. We have not had a run game. Now, again, Cordero Patterson, the irony is it's a guy at age 31, is only behind Nick Chubb, as we mentioned yesterday, in the league. Question is, how do you get Algier and the other guys in the mix so his wheels don't fall off? But, man, as you and I talked yesterday, it's tempting not to get Cordero Patterson a lot more touches.
I know that, but Arthur Smith well, he has a lot of good things to say about the guys up front, basically.
You know, our rushing attack, I say this all the time, it's all 11. When you watch some of those runs, you watch that big run by Patterson when he cuts back, you're going to watch Kyle Pitts, you're going to watch Felipe Franks and Avery Williams spring those blocks. That's how those become, you know, 7-8 yard runs into explosive runs.
We talked about this today.
Wait a minute. Did I hear the name Felipe Frank? Was he in there? I miss him being in there blocking. What did I hear? Felipe?
Squid Billy was in Seattle.
The run where Cordero goes down the left sideline. Can't remember if it was in the third. I think it was the third quarter. Felipe Franks and Brian Baldinger did the breakdown. He's the one. He makes the block that springs Cordero. If you look, his block seals that, and he takes off down the outside, and he finally runs out of bounds on the Falcons sideline.
I didn't notice him in there.
Yeah.
Well, good.
It's a great job by Felipe.
I apologize for not knowing that Felipe, because we talked so much this summer about Felipe Franks and how he looked really good catching the football, and then in the preseason it didn't really translate to as much in some of those games. But there's the work, man. There's a quarterback throwing a block. That's the stuff that – it's the little things, man, and thanks to Bo for pointing that out.
Coach 6'7", 230.
No. But the guy, I mean, he surprised everybody this year, and now if you're blocking and getting things like that done, then you're certainly emerging and filling that role. This team is so much different than years past. And look, this is not a bash on Matt Ryan thing, because as we said talking to Chuck Smith, you never had a run game. You know, once Freeman got his contract, then he stopped being effective. And then our offensive line just stopped being effective because they didn't know how to draft offensive linemen. Well,
how many concussions did Devontae have?
Well, that was part of it, too. But Alex Mack was the one guy you could hang on. Jake has always been solid, if not spectacular. But now, and it's not just because we're moving the pocket. There's a lot of times Mariota is in the pocket.
Yep.
But teams have to respect what we're doing because we can run the ball for the first time in about 5 years.
And I think it's interesting that, to me, it appears Marcus Mariota is much, you know, he does have accuracy issues, certainly. He seems to be more accurate on the run, though. That's what's so interesting to me.
Right.
Remember that
Butch Cassidy, the Sundance kid, can I move when I shoot?
Yes.
I'm better when I move.
Or Gene Wilder and Blazing. When I shoot with this hand, you know, right. I jiggle my left hand.
This guy is exasperating. We said it yesterday. If you can just get him to stop with some of these mistakes, the botched handoff, the fumbles, if you can just tighten. And again, maybe you cannot tighten that up. That's just his nature. Well, that's going to hurt us in a bunch of games because you can't turn the ball over.
I think that's what's held him back. There's that innate anxiousness about him.
It's a good way to put it.
That's what it is. There's an anxiousness, jittery anxiousness.
So just now I know the phrase, let it come to you. Quarterback, yeah. I'm like, I do it on the radio. I'm always pressing the issue. But this is a guy who shows you he has a skill set.
Yes.
And then all the things that he does with that skill set get wiped off by a crazy turnover. So, this is why we knew going in that there was a ceiling with Mariota, unless, as we said last week with Arthur, can you find a way to get him to cut down on those mistakes? Do you consider that mental? It's between the ears.
It's got to be between the ears. It's something psychological, a fear of failure or something like that. And also, you got to think about this. At what, 28 years old, he's playing for his legacy now. He does not want to be regarded as a bust.
Right.
So there's a desperation there that compounds something that was already innate within him.
Right.
So maybe it's twice as bad, but I love how hard he plays and with the passion in which he plays, the aggressiveness, the toughness. Just cut out the mistakes.
I've always thought it would be a 10-to-1 shot. We were talking about this back when we signed him. If he could reignite his career.
Yes.
You know, if he could find a way to. You know, there's a few stories out there. Jim Plunkett comes to mind.
I was about to say Jim Plunkett,
Rich
exactly.
Rich Gannon.
Yes.
You know, there's some guys that are able to, and they both coincidentally were Raiders, but there's guys that were able to do it. And Arthur Smith, and ultimately irony is he was the guy that we said, you know, he's the guy that said, okay, you're not starting for me anymore. We're going to go with Tannehill. Now, Tannehill looks like a guy that can't hold a job. Here's Arthur Smith, and I think fans love to hear this. It's exciting when we're moving the ball. It's fun to watch. You know, not watching three and outs and your quarterback staring at the roof gets a little old after a while. Here's Arthur on their style of football.
People, I mean, we are in the sports and entertainment business, Charles. And the fundamental essence of the business is create a customer. I've beaten in my head as a young age, Charles. It's not lost on me. We got to do our part. And that's what that's what it is. And you people forget that. So, yeah, we need to give people a reason to want to come watch.
Isn't it funny that how entertaining football can be if you do have a good running game. It doesn't have to be throw it all over the yard, the greatest show on turf. It doesn't have to be. It's still beautiful to watch and fun to watch and exhilarating, especially if it's your team that is running the ball that well. Just like it's very exciting and exhilarating and fun when your defense is dominant.
That's it.
It doesn't have to be, you know, all glossy.
No, I mean, run the football. It's one of the things that, you know, coaches say it, and sometimes it's you know, you as a fan, it just kind of, you get numb to it.
Yeah.
All right, balanced attack. Well, no, you don't need a balanced attack. The Chiefs don't have a balanced attack. They don't run the ball when let's be honest, they're throwing the ball all day long. But we want to run the football. We want to be able to wear you down. And again, I had a guy just hit me up on Twitter. You always make excuses for Matt Ryan's declining play. Okay, he was never a mobile quarterback. A quarterback like that is going to live on play action and a run game. He needed that help. It's not an excuse. I'm just giving you a fact, sir. Matt Ryan can't do the things Patrick Mahomes does. He can't do the things Lamar Jackson does or Mike Vick did. He needed a balanced attack. They never had that.
Why are so many fans in this town suffering from Ryan derangement syndrome?
I'm going to hit him back. I go, get over it. He's gone. What do you care? I'm just telling you, and I'm just also saying by hook or crook, because there are some fans out here who respected what Matt Ryan did as the greatest franchise, best quarterback this franchise has ever had. Although you guys never want to respect him or the things he did for this town. But again, that's neither here nor there. The dude was what he was. He was an MVP in 16. And if you think there's any correlation with being the most sacked quarterback over the next 3 years, that is the skills declined.
And I know about 2-3 years ago, I was ready to say bye. Thank you. You will be in the ring of honor. God bless you, Matt Ryan. You were one of the most hit quarterbacks your entire career. You missed 3 games.
Right. But, I mean, it's the guy's still a punching bag. Just even in that sentence, you still got some jerk in the peanut gallery who wants to crap on Matt Ryan. Well, now he's getting his brains beating up in Indianapolis, okay? So, enjoy. This is a team which is built now with two young studs, Pitts and obviously what Drake London's looking like. And he looks, I think Squidbilly said this on, were you on a podcast while you were saying this? He looks like a dude that has obviously validated that pick. You see it. You see the athleticism. You see the size. So regardless of Mariota being here, Rob, next year, 2 years down the road, whatever we do with quarterback, whoever gets this job long term is going to have some unbelievable targets.
We got our twin towers on the outside, dude.
Right.
That's great.
And then, of course, the running back, if you can continue to build on this draft with the line. I still want to see this offensive line upgraded. Defense, we got limitations. Although, yeah, they did a nice job when it mattered, yeah, most on Sunday.
Well, they're learning how to disguise their weaknesses. And maybe they can overachieve a little bit this year as well. And they're obviously being coached very well, period.
And this is another thing, man. Arthur Smith, I think guys got upset because of the way we choked away that Saints game. And I will argue with Arthur Smith every day about we should have gone for it on 4th-and-1. But he's told us after the Rams game, their situations, it's not simply we're going to have a mantra of we're going to go for it. No, yeah, he's going to go situation by situation.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many nuances to football we're not privy to just watching as fans. There's a lot of things going on the sideline. It's not as simple as you think. Maybe it should be. I don't know, but it isn't.
On a scale of 1 to 10, 10 means we win. Your confidence about Cleveland. Miles Garrett's banged up, was in a car accident. There was a critter on the road, had to avoid him. Yep. He had to roll that Porsche of his, so I could imagine he'd be a little dinged up.
Scale of 1 to 10, 6.8.
Wow, okay. I don't think there's games we looked at, and this is one of those we felt, without Deshaun Watson, yeah, maybe we'd have a shot in this. We're good against the – well, we weren't really good against the run for much of the day against Seattle.
That's right.
We're going to tighten that up.
Tighten it up, certainly. Hey, fun team to watch. They might overachieve. At least you're going to be enjoying – you're going to enjoy yourself every Sunday. Right. Running the gamut of emotions, but you'll be fine. We're going to come back and we're going to hear from Grant McCauley pretty soon. It's time for the Strong Arm Story of the Day coming up next. It's Dukes and Bell, Rob Tribble, filling in for Carl. Sports Radio 99 again.
I mean, obviously, we need to score more points.
That's true.
The Strong Arm Story of the Day is brought to you by John Foyt Associates Personal Injury Law.
Yeah, it's Dukes and Bell, Rob Tribble, filling in for Carl and Hurricane Ian causing a massive shuffling of college pro sports schedules, Mike. And I've got, you know, I told you my girl has family on Treasure Island, and that's right in the crosshairs, and that's an island. 10-foot storm surge, it could be wiped off the map. Remember what Hurricane Sandy did to New York and New Jersey back in 2012? The subways all flooded. 150 people died, mostly water-related. Storm surges are kind of, everybody thinks it's about wind.
Right.
And rain.
When the water rolls
in. The water, man, it's nasty.
So we were hoping it wouldn't be the panhandle because those guys have been clobbered the last couple of years.
Yep.
But, we're just looking at the latest track from the Weather Channel, our friends up the street. It's got it going over Tampa and then kind of over to Central Florida. That's the latest track. So the question is, we'll start with our Atlanta stuff. Braves and Mets are – now, the Mets have games in Miami tonight and tomorrow. And, again, the weather – I'm talking to my friends in Naples, and it's already kicking up down there. The Keys are getting some wind right now, too. But the idea that the Mets – and the Braves both have Thursday off. So you could, in baseball, Dave O'Brien talked about it in The Athletic, you could hypothetically, baseball gets together.
What about their flight out of Miami? They're going to have to skew way out into the Atlantic and come back in, right?
Right.
To turn what, 2.5-hour flight into a 4-hour, maybe. I don't know how they do that.
But the idea being to get the Mets up here to play Thursday, because Saturday, potentially Sunday, could be pretty wet. Falcons aren't affected. They got a roof. Your tailgate's going to get soaked.
Yeah.
But there's still projections where the storm would go up and kind of skirt Savannah and all that. Mm-hmm. Either way, we're not weather guys. We're just telling you what same stuff you guys are reading. Florida Gators, their game is going to be postponed till Sunday. They're taking on Eastern Washington.
Yep.
So that's a noon start for the Gators at Ben Hill Griffin Stadium.
I think South Carolina State, they moved that to Thursday night.
And then Florida State and Wake, classes are canceled right now and through Friday. But the game is still scheduled because it looks like it's about 40% chance of showers.
Are you going to brave the elements and get down to Tallahassee?
Damn right. I'll bring my rubbers. I'm going, man. Go Noles. Well,
nah.
Party don't stop.
Nah.
So we'll be down there. And what's that, Chris?
Rubbers.
Rubbers. They're called galoshes, Chris. For younger people in the 50s, Mad Men, they would call boots rubbers. Get your rubbers on. And so what I tried to do there is I use a little double entendre, so some people like Rob might think it's something else. But
I'll triple down on the double entendre, though. You know me, I'm willing to do that because I'm 12.
Right. So the old joke would say, it's going to be soggy this week and get your rubbers, and people would be like, whoa, what is that? The point being just because that's the kind of person I am, Chris. I just engage in that kind of shock jock type stuff. Now, the Braves and the Mets, I don't know if they want to have the worst case scenario situation you want to have is a doubleheader because Saturday gets rained out.
Yeah, it could be a day night because I think right now it's ESPN Sunday Night Baseball, Braves and Mets, so you do a day night. Mm-hmm. And it's the same, both teams are facing the same thing. You both of them have to play the day-night. Both of them would have to move back to Thursday, so that kind of evens things out. I heard somewhere out there, well, could they just go to a neutral site if I'm the Braves? I'm saying, hell no. I would never give up those home games.
No,
I don't think
way.
That's even a possibility.
No, not even remotely close. Who's that said that? Stop that. But, yeah, so we're waiting to see. It's this type of year does happen from time to time. It had been a pretty relatively quiet hurricane season. Nothing's a rampant. This is the letter I, by the way, Ian. So we'll see where it goes. The Braves looked like you could with MLB, as we said, play it on Thursday. And then, of course, you know, this one last, and we'll talk about it with Grant McCullough coming up, this last effort, unbelievable last night. And we'll talk in depth, but Elder, what a fantastic job. A complete game, first time since Steve Avery for a rookie to pull that.
That is crazy. And plus, I told you, it's the Marlins pitcher that leads Major League Baseball with five complete games, just five. But I understand what the realities are now. It used to be back in the 60s or 50s, the bullpen, where that was just a hangers-on.
Right.
But now, they are really cognizant of pitch counts, innings. And, you know,
and
pitchers are expensive.
You had Don Drysdale and Bob Gibson and Tom Seaver and all that, but guys just throw harder earlier in their careers than they did back in those days.
And
for
pitching's
lack of a better
just different. Pitching's just different now. Right. You know, now it's all about, pitchers don't really know how to pitch anymore in a big way because now they're worried about the third time through the order.
Right.
Where batting averages skyrocket against a particular pitcher. Well, your Maddoxes, your Glavins, your Smoltzes, they knew how to do that and deal with that. Now it's all about throw as hard as you can for as long as you can, then we'll go to the bullpen.
Yeah, it's amazing. A guy with two pitches can't get through the lineup the third time.
Yeah.
That goes back to the coaching, how they're developed in the minor leagues and all that. But you're right. It drives me crazy. Strider, we're waiting to get him back. Still going to have to wait till the postseason because of that oblique, which
that's
still
another reason why you want to win the division.
Right.
Because the first round of the playoffs starts October 7th. If you win the division, you don't have to worry about playing until the 11th.
Yeah, there's no tiebreakers, guys. They're just going to simply go head-to-head. And that's how they're – so there's not a 163rd game, for instance, like we've had in years past.
Yeah.
So there you go. There's the weather update. Now, hopefully, we just this thing goes as far out east. I don't want to say far out east. I got a lot of friends down in Savannah.
Did you ever
somewhere where it doesn't affect us?
Did you ever
the length of it?
Too.
Did you ever deal with a hurricane while you're in Florida?
A couple times. Yeah.
You didn't escape. Did you have a hurricane party? As
I
used to do.
I went down to visit my nana, and I drove right into Hurricane Andrew, and didn't know it was being
Hurricane Andrew wiped out Homestead, Florida. I mean, wiped it from the face of the earth.
I spent the entire 4 days in Hallandale. My dad had passed away. I worked in L.A. for 6 weeks. We all got fired, so I was going to do a road trip. So I rolled down, went to Nana's condo in Hallandale at Three Isles, and there's a note on the door. Went to Orlando, storm. Because I didn't have a cell phone back then. I had a pager. You have a cell phone in 92?
No.
Yeah, that sounds crazy, guys. You would actually.
Then 2 years later, you had the big Zach Morris cell phone, remember?
Yeah, the Gordon Gekko. Yes. Yeah, but I didn't have a Radio Shack. I didn't have a Radio Shack bag phone, okay? But yeah, so I got up there and I'm in the condo. And then while I'm there, I fell asleep. And that's when the evacuation started. And the power went out. And the only place you could get food was a coal oven pizza place down towards the airport.
Huh.
But they got off easy, the rest of South Florida. Homestead Airport, Air Force Base, Kendall, those guys got clobbered. Went all the way to Naples and tore up Collier County.
You've heard of FEMA using the Waffle House Index?
No, what's that?
It's a real thing. Because Waffle House will not close. It has to be Armageddon for a Waffle House to close. They know something's really bad if the Waffle Houses are closed. Look it up. It's a real thing. The Waffle House Index in FEMA. Google that, and you're like, wow, that's a thing.
I did not know that was a thing. Yes, yeah.
Waffle House is keeping us all safe.
Usually I'm the dude who's dropping the useless piece of information, but that's a factoid, my friend.
I'm the king of that. I can do things I can't put on my resume. I have knowledge that doesn't do me any good either. You know, there I am.
We used to, when we would go in Waffle Houses, we were in high school, we always asked the attendant, why is there a door lock on the Waffle House when it's always open?
I can tell you this. Coming back from the Florida State Notre Dame game last year, it was a Sunday night. It was the first ever Sunday night game at Doak Campbell. And guess what? It's like the movie Easy Money with Rodney Dangerfield and Joe Pesci. They go to a restaurant and it says, open.
I just watched that 2 weeks ago.
It said, Squid, open 23 hours. We were in somewhere, I guess, like, I don't know where it was, Thomasville, somewhere in South Georgia. We rolled up and they were closed. On a Sunday night. They were not open 24/7, at least in that part of Georgia. Kept going up. And it was like the quest. All we wanted was the Texas cheesesteak, and we couldn't get it because every other Waffle House was closed on a Sunday night.
Here it is. The Waffle House Index is an informal metric named after the Waffle House restaurant chain to determine the effect of a storm and the likely scale of assistance required for disaster recovery, coined by former Administrator Craig Fugate of FEMA.
Well, they have an index on three levels. Level 1 is green. Full menu means restaurant has power, damage is limited, or no damage. Yellow, limited menu, no power or only power from a generator, so food supplies may be low. Red, restaurant is closed, indicate severe damage or flooding. So if it's a red Waffle
We're all
House,
dead.
Yeah, yeah, the end. It's the end.
Hey man, last night it was Monday Night Football. I'm Joe. He's Troy. I was watching some of the Manning cast last night. It was pretty funny. But the game itself. It was some you know, it's the Giants with Daniel Jones. You're not going to get a lot of offense on them from Big Blue, but the Cowboys, what do you make of Cooper Rush and the job he's doing?
What is he, 3-0? Is I he 3-0 as a starter? Or is he two? He's 2-0. He's 2-0. Yeah, and that's something.
Because they lost to the Bengals when Dak went down, but he's been 2-0 as a starter.
Never underestimate adversity and inspiring something. Because you know he heard the mockery. Oh, who's this guy? Who's this toe tag they're bringing in?
Well, CeeDee Lamb made an unbelievable. I mean, everybody's doing the one-handed catch, but this one last night, I was more impressed with the footwork. You know, because almost everybody now who's elite can do the one-hand job. Oh, excuse me. But then it was 2 feet down. And he made that incredible
Rubber's
catch.
Hand. Same segment. Boy. We are swimming in a sea of perversity.
Well, this is why the old boss would never let you and I work together, man. If Carl's listening online, I know he's just shaking his head right now. Anybody doesn't do that. Only Squidbilly listens when he's on vacation. Hey, man, it is Dukes and Bell with our man Rob Tribble. The game itself, though, Giants, it's a work in progress. They don't have the quarterback yet. Dable's trying to make lemonade out of that lemon. Saquon Barkley's still doing his best he can. Parsons wasn't healthy.
For as long as he's healthy.
Yes, but Parsons was dealing with some cold-like symptoms, but the Cowboys' defense was getting after it.
He played, though, didn't he?
Yeah. Just banged up.
Because I will be honest, I did not watch the game last night. I was watching the Braves.
I was going back and forth. The good news was, and we'll talk about it with Grant McCauley coming up, but the Braves got some unbelievable clutch pitching, and then once the Nats kind of imploded with a defensive screw-up, the Braves just blew it wide open. It was
did
fun
you
to
see
watch.
How what bad shape the field was in? They had to lay down new sod because there's an Elton John concert.
Saw that. Giant patch out in the outfield.
What is this, his fifth farewell tour? Can he even sing anymore? Has it gotten to the point now, you know what those old artists do, they just let the crowd sing the chorus so they can take a break.
Well, I will say this. I know steak went cha-cha. I think folks who went to Mercedes-Benz, I heard good things about it. I'd seen Elton John earlier in his prime, so I declined. Once Charlie Watts died, I gave away my Stones tickets to one of my neighbors for his birthday. But
I saw them, 5 years ago, Georgia. They were amazing. And I snuck up right to the front row. I got sprayed by Mick Jagger's water. He was sprinkling around. I hope it was water.
No, but Elton John, from what I heard, put on a nice show. I'm just glad he's actually singing. A lot of older artists do the track thing.
Oh, or unless you're a Motley Crue's lead singer who sounded horrible. You see all the he was getting trolled online big time because he sounded
well. I got to be honest,
ghastly.
I saw the Crew in '88 and Vince couldn't sing back then. Kickstart my heart.
We have a great singer coming up next, Grant McCauley. We're going to talk a little Braves, and I'm interested in his take on the new changes coming in baseball, like the larger bases, et cetera, et cetera. Contingencies for a Hurricane Ian, all that and more next on Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
World Series champion Atlanta Braves.
Yes! World champions!
On Dukes and Bell.
Brought to you by Zero Res. Spell it backwards or forwards, it's the right way to clean.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Oh, and by the way, he has a podcast from 5 to 7 on Sundays called From the Diamond. Grant McCauley's own From the Diamond, and the purveyor of said podcast joins us right now. Hello, Grant.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Well, how pleasantly surprised were you watching that kid last night do it in such a – it's almost Greg Maddox-esque. It wasn't a 76-pitch complete game, but it was nice to watch.
No, but anytime you get a game in another 2.5 hours, I think you've accomplished right. something on most days. But, I mean, we don't see very many complete games across baseball anymore. I think that's what's made part of Sandy Alcantara's season so incredible. And then you've got a kid out here throwing a shutout for the first time as a Braves rookie pitcher, accomplishing that in 32 years. And if you had asked me who did it in 1990, I probably would have gone with Steve Avery, final answer. But Paul Marek was the guy that did it last. And I don't know. I've got to dig through my 1991 Donruss baseball cards to see if I still have one of those. But I don't think it's going to pan out as a long-term investment.
Wait, wasn't that the Elephant Man, Marek? As John
that I don't know. I'm going to leave other people in charge of those kinds of things.
I'm not an animal. I'm a designated hitter. Hey, man, Grant, the effort last night that we talked about, Elder was money. The big inning was the double play that went wrong for the Nats. But first things first,
yep.
Is Matt Olson out of the woods?
I hope so. In the last couple of days, I mean, we've seen a couple of good swings. I mean, he has barreled a couple of baseballs up, and that is what you need to see out of him. The home run off the foul pole, I mean, I tweeted it last night when it happened. I mean, this guy deserved a break because, I mean, he clocked that one right down the line, and you just want to see something go right for him because that, I feel like, you know, we talked about just maybe even getting a base hit. However you get it starts to build you some confidence. A home run like that will. Sacrifice fly a little bit later in the game, as I mentioned, you know, on Sunday. He had a couple of good swings against the Phillies, had a double, and had a hard line drive out to the wall. So if he starts having a couple of well-struck balls per night, and then I think we're starting to see Matt Olson look a lot more like the hitter that I think we became accustomed to seeing when he would get in a groove. And it'd be really nice for him to get in a groove over the final week or 10 days here, and then, of course, carry that on over into October because the Braves really need him to step up and be that run producer for him.
I think Spencer Strider's a big concern. That's why you want to win the division so you don't have to play until October 11th instead of October 7th. But, you know, a severe strain of your oblique, that's a 3 to 4 month recovery time, maybe a mild one, 6 weeks perhaps. We don't even know how severe this is, do we?
Yeah, they haven't really given any real diagnosis of it, even calling it a strained oblique. It's just more of oblique discomfort, which I don't know if that's a more comforting way of describing what exactly is going on, but either way, this is clearly not the best time for something like this. That is an injury that really only heals with time and inactivity for that muscle group. So that's not really an option if you're a pitcher. You're going to have to turn your body and bring the ball home. And Max Scherzer went through this, and it cost him over a month this season. And then he came back and kind of had a little recurrence where he said there was some, I don't know, fatigue in that area. So they put him on the injured list again. So these things can be a little bit tricky. And hopefully for Spencer Strider, just getting this couple of 3 weeks in a ramp up into the playoffs to be ready for that will be what he needs. Initially, they said he would have gone out and started if he had his way. And they decided to err on the side of caution. Then when he went out to throw his side session, they felt it again. So it's definitely a concern. I just hate to, sit here and ring the bell and say that it's, anything beyond the discomfort level because they just haven't released that information.
It's our man Grant McCauley. Mets are off last night, so Braves got it down to one after beating the Nats 8-0. Michael Harris, we made a lot about him batting cleanup, 1-for-4, hitting to a double play. He's back to fifth tonight, so you're going to see Matt Olson back in the cleanup spot. Contreras is going to go tonight. I guess they're going to give Darnell a couple days off because he's older.
Yeah, I think so, and then you don't lose anything with the bat, and I think that's a big deal because usually you got your starting catcher who's in there clearly for how he handles the pitching staff, but also he's probably the guy that's a little bit more offensive-minded, but man, the Braves have gotten so much out of their catchers this year, and the OPS well over 800. They've hit over 30 home runs. They've driven in 90-plus runs. This is a duo between Darnell and Contreras that is a luxury that no other team in baseball, I think, has right now, a platoon that is this evenly matched offensively and that you can count on defensively to do what you need to each night.
Ozuna with a home run, is he done enough to be in that? You want him on your postseason lineup. Roster, I should say.
I'm not sure yet. I kind of want to see how this plays out, and there may be some different roster concerns with how many outfielders are you going to carry, how many of them are kind of similar or redundant, I guess, in some cases, and then who is swinging a hot bat will certainly be a factor in that decision-making process, but are we ready to say that Marcell Ozuna is what we've seen the last couple of weeks and not what we've seen the last 2 years offensively? That still sounds like a bit of a calculated risk at best to me, so if he keeps on hitting, then maybe that decision becomes a lot easier. But you got to look at, I think, who he's hitting against. you know, when he is playing and what kind of situations is he doing it. I mean, we're not talking about a bunch of walk-off hits and home runs and whatnot.
Right.
Nice to see a home run in a game you win 8-0, but I just don't feel like Ozuna has necessarily cemented his name in that plan yet, but I could be wrong, and if he hits, I'll be happy to be wrong.
Now, I have my opinions as to why I think it's paramount the Braves win the division. Of course, they can still win a World Series even if they don't. But in your opinion, why is it so important to win the division?
You've got to get those days off because it's an extra round of play this year, and MLB has taken away a lot of travel days. So you're not going to see some of the same luxuries of being able to reset your rotation throughout the playoffs until you get into the LCS and the World Series. And that is really, to me, one of the biggest things. It's going to be a change and a kind of a sharp left turn for some teams that don't have the rotational depth to not have to throw a starter on 3 days rest, or maybe not even have the option of throwing them on 3 days rest because the series didn't have that travel day and you simply can't reset and get somebody back out there. So that, I think, from a strategical standpoint, is the most important thing, is being able to have the pitching staff lined up more the way you want it. Everybody's got to deal with it in the ALDS and NLDS, but this wild card round, it kind of throws a wrench in your plans because you have to use, you would assume, at least two of your three best starters. Then you get one off day, and then you got to get right back into it with the LDS. So that, I think, scheduling-wise, is the number one reason why winning your division trumps everything else.
Go ahead.
Sorry about that, brother.
We're so anxious to talk to you, Grant.
Yeah, man. I was going to ask you about this with the weather. Are we going to see – would MLB sign off on the Mets and Braves playing on Thursday?
I'm really interested to see that, and I have no idea how exactly they're going to handle it. I don't know if this is one of those situations where, based on how the playoffs are so jam-packed in and there's really not any time off, would they move this team, these teams to a neutral site, some club that's out of town for that series, just to get it in? Because if you do have to cancel or postpone three consecutive games right there at the end of the season, that would really mess some things up. And that's to say nothing of with the weather situation that has all kinds of other applications for people that, you know, clearly are, you know, less than great. But from a purely sports perspective, it's going to be a very interesting decision that Major League Baseball has on its hands, because if it rains all weekend long and they can't play those three baseball games, I really don't know how you make that up in a timely, expedient manner other than playing them somewhere else.
Grant, I think last year's Braves might be this year's Cardinals. They might have that magic fairy dust, you know, the Albert Pujols thing going on, the fact that Goldsmith and Arenado are having such great years, the farewell tours for Wainwright and the catcher and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
There's a similarity there, I think.
Yeah, and they're a good team, and they really marched into the second half and finally took over in that National League Central. So I do think they're going to be a tough matchup. I think they've got good enough pitching, maybe not the defense we've been accustomed to seeing from the Cardinals all around the field. I mean, Arenado's in a world class all by himself. Goldsmith, certainly a capable defender, and, you know, Yadi Molina has built a reputation of being a guy that can handle a pitching staff and make his contributions there. But you know, you don't really find a lot of holes in that bullpen. They can bring guys out there throwing 98 to 102 miles an hour, and that's multiple different relievers. It's a pretty good baseball team all around. So I wouldn't be surprised with some of the fun stories of the second half, the Pujols one in particular, his assault on 700 home runs that back in April seemed like would be a tall order. Maybe that's the kind of momentum that's floating around in St. Louis right now, and we've seen that club be a tough matchup in the postseason before, so I'm sure that they have, you know, their focus on doing everything that they can to go as deep into October as possible and maybe send off a bunch of these heroes with one more World Series run.
We mentioned earlier, obviously, the great job that Bryce Elder did last night. Kyle Muller goes tonight. In 2020, mm-hmm. was a young Ian Anderson. Kyle Wright got some work. Do you think we'll see those guys off? Scott Arizzi won't be on the postseason rosters. I'll make that leap of faith right there. You think these guys may get a shot to bolster the pen?
I'm not sure yet, and I really think that, you know, from a depth perspective, it may make sense to have somebody like that, and if there was going to be one of these guys that I think would be in that role, I think Bryce Elder's probably done enough at this point to be the multi-inning option that kind of is there to, you know, pad if you have any kind of drop-off in innings from your starting rotation as you plan it out. But I know that Kyle Muller has made some leaps and bounds this year control-wise. He has cut his walks substantially. And his strikeouts have been right where you'd want him to be. He's striking out about 11 batters per nine. And, you know, the strikeouts to walks has gone up to 4-1, which is great to see. And I just like seeing these guys get these opportunities and helping the Braves out in this key time to reset their rotation to get to that Mets series, which, as we know, has been what we've circled on the calendar and been talking about for months. We felt like this was going to be a tight division race, and it could come down to the final week. Now we know it's going to come down to the final week and the Mets and the Braves in these three games. And, oh, by the way, the weather's coming into effect. So it's going to be, I think, a really fascinating next 7 or 8 days for the Atlanta Braves.
Well, it's been a very interesting baseball season between Aaron Judge, Pujols, of course, the Braves trying to maintain just all the other peripheral stories. It's been a great year for Major League Baseball, and we're expecting a lot more. And, again, Grant McCauley's podcast, 5 to 7 on Sundays. Where can they find it?
Yeah, you can find it from the Diamond wherever you get your podcast. Now that we're in football season, we're actually moving to Saturday. So the next episode of From the Diamond on 92.9 The Game will be noon on Saturday. It'll be myself and Corey McCartney, and you can get it wherever you find your podcast or the Odyssey app.
Well, I blame our producer for not knowing that change. That's embarrassing. He just embarrassed the whole show. Thank you, Grant.
Wow.
Thanks, guys.
There goes a no-hitter. And by the way, I hate the idea of having to go to a neutral site. No way.
You're
banking on three games and the Braves hosting the Mets and all that entails. Man, that would be a monkey in a wrench. Maybe the latest track from our Super Dukes and Bell. I'm just looking at the Weather Channel. But the latest track has got it basically shooting across Florida and then going up the East Coast. So you're going to be dealing with the outer bands, how big this thing is going to be. But Saturday, I think they can get the games in Saturday and Sunday.
Well, I just hope we don't have a lot of fatalities, man. There's just enough misery in the world as it is.
The idea of moving this game, one of these games, up to Thursday at Truist Park makes a lot of sense. Hope they do it.
It's not impossible to do.
Mets are playing Tuesday, Wednesday, Miami. One of those games, the Mets might have to be in the, depending on where this thing goes. Who knows what happens tomorrow night, but if the weather gets funky, the Mets might be in a situation they'd have to play Thursday in Miami.
Yep. Or you're going to have to fly all the way out in the Atlantic to double back to get to Atlanta to avoid us.
Anyway, hurricane season, and it's messing with the baseball season.
Yep. We got the top three at 6 coming up next. It's Dukes and Bell, Rob Tribble filling in for Carl. Sports Radio 99 again.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.